Lamar coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. You could always follow along on social media at Zach Gelb, Twitter, and Instagram. And Hickey, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm taking some accountability. I need to be held accountable for my awful gambling picks. They're just terrible. I think on this show so far, and last year I was like 12 or 13 games over 500. This year I think I have 4 wins. We picked 3 games a week through the first 5 weeks of the season. So I'm not going to try to do the math right now, but I only have 4 winners. This has just been disgraceful. And tonight, not that this counters into our season-long standings, but we were talking about how you would bet this game 7-point spread. Oh, I can't bet against Kansas City. They're down 2 touchdowns now to the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm tweeting out a video, and I'm acknowledging how bad I've been. And I got to think about something. I got to do some brainstorming, and I'll see what I come up with in the next 24 hours. But I have to find a way to change my misfortunes around. I got to adjust. I got to learn. I got to adapt. And I just got to simply be better. And maybe there's going to need to be some cleanse. Maybe I'll go on this Aaron Rodgers Pancha Karma cleanse or something like that. Probably not. That's like disgusting. What is it? Like enemas and puking. No, not do that. But I got to think of something. You know what? Ryan, maybe I'll allow you. And there could be some pent-up frustration here. Maybe I will allow you to dump a full bucket of water over my head to try to wash away all this bad gambling luck that I've had through the first 5 weeks of the season. Do you have that in you?
That is something I did not think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to say... Either you're going to say, have me pick the games for you to change the luck off.
You also said Kansas City was going to win by 7.
Oh, yeah. I was on that train today. I would not have done too well, that's for sure.
I got to go brainstorming here. At Zach Gelb on Twitter, if you have anything to try to change my gambling luck around, something I could do to give me good karma here. I think washing away my sorrows, you just dumping a bucket of water on me could be good. That may be the case. Wake me up a little bit. Get me focused. Get me all prepared to then go have a good gambling rest of the year.
And I guess we can't do it in studio. We would get fired. And it's cold outside.
You know what? I could toughen up after the show. Maybe not tonight. I got to be prepared for this. Maybe tomorrow after the show. I get a big bucket. Fill it up with some water. Dump it over my head, and then I quickly, I can't walk home then. In that,
I think, yeah, I think it's part of it. Does that have to be the punishment? You have to, like, you know, let it sit there, cleanse your gambling soul, if you will. I don't think it's just enough to, like, get the water dumped on you, and then it's like, you know, go run into a hot shower. I think you gotta kind of eat it.
What are you, trying to pick up some extra shifts?
No, I'm trying to help you out.
Sick for a few weeks? Oh, pop!
I'm just trying to be a good company guy here and say if you really want to kind of reverse your luck.
Stop using my own material, good company
guy. I don't think half-assing it would really kind of work. That's all.
Okay. We're going to change those misfortunes around. All right. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Maybe you could say what would... Yeah, we got to think of something.
What would Stu Miner do?
Do the opposite of what you would do.
Maybe I have to start paying for picks. No, I would never do that.
Subscribing. Call this number right now. My first pick is free.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, 5 questions, 5 answers. Let's get to Onside, Offside. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 5 questions, 5 answers. Let's get to it. If there's any spreads involved in this, fade.
That is the good news, at least in these questions today. No spreads. So
hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Off the hook here for the next few minutes. As we know, Zach, earlier today, Matt Rhule became the first head coach fired in 2022. As following a 37-15 loss to the 49ers on Sunday, Panthers owner David Tepper announced on Monday that Rhule was relieved of his duties. Now, the former Temple and Baylor head coach went 11-27 in his two-plus seasons in Carolina. Now, other head coaches looking around the league that are on the hot seat include Frank Reich of the Colts, Brandon Staley of the Chargers, and Nathaniel Hackett of the Broncos. Onsides or offsides, Zach, there will be at least one more head coach fired in season.
Oh, onsides. Now, which one? That's the question. So, Rhule already gone. AFC East, no one in danger of losing their job. AFC North, no one in danger of losing their job. Zach Taylor just got to the Super Bowl. John Harbaugh's a really damn good coach. Mike Tomlin's a good coach, even though the Steelers stink right now. The only way Stefanski gets fired would be at the end of the year. You got to at least see what he looks like with Deshaun Watson. AFC South, Frank Reich definitely in the conversation. And you have a crazy owner in Jim Irsay, so I could see him making a move in year. And that'd actually be a smart decision. AFC West, you said it. Staley, I don't think Staley, it's all about do you make the playoffs or not. And they're 3-2. They have a good enough offense where I do think they're going to make the playoffs. But I don't think that's an in-season move. Nathaniel Hackett could definitely be in season. So Hackett and Reich are probably the leading candidates. McCarthy's not going anywhere right now. And they're 4-1, so you got to give him credit. Ron Rivera feels like he should be on the hot seat, but probably gets bailed out because everyone likes Ron Rivera, including yours truly. And if you're Daniel Snyder, people like your coach, you're going to make a move that caused more attention to your disaster of a franchise, especially with you just being a failure of an owner and a despicable human being. In the North, they just hired Eberflus, Dan Campbell, second year in. It's the Lions. They usually have patience. South. No, you know Arthur Smith, by the way, is the longest tenured coach in the AFC South right now? NFC South? With Rhule out today?
Wow. I mean, it makes sense, but that's also just... he's
Todd Bowles, Dennis Allen just in.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's wild. And the NFC West, Cliff Kingsbury just got an extension. So it's two guys. Two guys that get fired in season. Reich or Hackett. One of them will get fired in season.
You mentioned one guy who will not get fired in season. That's Mike McCarthy, because the Cowboys continued their torrid start to the season, beating the Rams 22-10 to move to 4-1 on the season. Now, despite not having Dak Prescott since week one, Dallas has beaten both teams that were in the Super Bowl last year. They also beat a Giants team that's 4-1 to start the season. Now, the defense for Dallas has been making plays all year. That continued on Sunday. They took a Matthew Stafford fumble back to the house on the opening drive to score a touchdown. And so far through five games, they are holding their opponents to just 14.4 points per game, good enough for third best in the league. Onsides or offsides, Zach, the Cowboys are legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the NFC.
Ooh, great question. You know what? This is going to be just a statement that contradicts itself. I don't believe Dak Prescott wins a Super Bowl. But how can I say right now that the Cowboys should be excluded from this contending conversation? Like, how can I say the Cowboys aren't a contender right now? Philadelphia is a contender. They're 5-0. Are the Vikings this great team at 4-1? They have a really good offense. I don't trust that defense. Tampa's 3-2. You think they'll eventually turn around? I don't know who's going to come out of the NFC West. I can't believe I'm saying this. Because the conference is just not strong. You got to think that the Packers will eventually make it look like a competent product. You feel great about any of those? Other than the Eagles, you feel great about any of the teams in the NFC right now?
Right now, no. I do not.
So right now in the moment, the Cowboys are a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC? Yeah. Cooper Rush has been phenomenal, but he's not better than Dak Prescott. And that defense is great. So if you could just have a little bit more buzz on offense, yeah, they got a shot. Like, would you say no to this question right now?
Right now, I would. Here's why. I thought they were Super Bowl contenders last year through seven games. They were 6-1.
Yeah, we all fell for that.
And as we know, come December.
Are we getting tricked by the same script again?
I think so. I want to wait a few more weeks. Like, I want to get to November. Get me around Thanksgiving.
Oh, so you don't think right now they're a contender?
They are. No, I think this is history repeating itself.
But who? Hey, if you had to tell me five teams in the NFC that you really believe in right now, who are the five teams?
If I have to pick five, they're in there if I have to. But it's like, you know, it's also, I don't think, like, outside of the Eagles, I think it's okay to say right now you don't believe in anyone else. And right now no one else is Super Bowl contender. I don't think that's,
okay, that's
wrong.
Fair.
But, like, if you have to pick five, then yes, the Cowboys are definitely in there. And honestly, they're probably two right now. Like, they're playing great football.
Just, yeah, they are, especially like, and overcoming adverse situations, too.
Right. And like you said, everyone else in the NFC right now, it's either maybe some false hope or teams that we thought they're going to be good right now are struggling.
The NFC playoff picture is going to be funky.
Oh, it is.
There's going to be a few teams at the end of the year that you look at and you go, whew, did not see that one. And how about this game tonight? This just shows you football right now in the year of 2022, it is intoxicated, it is drunk, it makes no damn sense. The Raiders are up 17-0 against the Chiefs. 17-0. Just when I was starting to buy back in on the Chiefs again. But if you had to pick a Super Bowl pick today, who would your Super Bowl pick be? You could wash away, free of charge, hot take, Hickey, any prediction that you made before the year. If, let's just say, this was August 1 and you knew what you know now, what would your Super Bowl pick be?
I mean, if I knew what I knew now back then...
Eagles-Bills?
Yeah, I can't not. I'm sticking by my Broncos pick. I'm just stubborn. But if, again, through what we've seen play-wise...
I'm sticking by my Broncos pick because I'm a selfish, stubborn bastard.
I don't know how you could honestly say anything but Bills-Eagles. Maybe, if I don't get crazy,
yeah.
Chiefs-Eagles. Otherwise, it's like...
Assuming that Kansas City doesn't come back, I could not say... I get it's Mahomes, but this Raider loss, you know how it would be the immediate reaction, would change the perception of the Chiefs a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a bad team, right? The Raiders, we didn't really think much of them so far the first four games. Saying their only win was the team that is... a dumpster fire right now.
Raiders starting to show a little life.
Maybe Josh McDaniels is not the worst coach in the NFL.
Oh, you said that, not me. But if they get to 2-3 with how they started the year.
Not bad.
Especially with how the entire league, you don't have a lot of great teams. They're right back in the playoff hunt. Come on, Joshy. Hey, maybe the Colts could hire Josh McDaniels after this year. Try to pry him away from the Raiders.
Moving on. New York football.
Coming up on Hickey's Colts podcast. I can never remember the name of the podcast at the moment.
The Blue Horseshoe.
The Blue Pod. Horseshoe. You know, I always try to say it's the other pod of that other guy that used to work here that has a Colts podcast. That's what I always think of.
The lead on our midweek, the Blue Horseshoe Pod. Jim Irsay, give Josh McDaniels a blank check right now.
You would get a lot of downloads.
Get Josh to Indy.
You would get a lot of downloads and a lot of bleep views.
Oh, a lot. A lot.
Can you do me a favor?
He might be the only head coach where the home team would boom.
Can you just throw that out there to George, your podcast partner, and just see what his reaction is and go, oh, just kidding, delayed April Fool's joke.
So the Colts should pursue Josh McDaniels. Trade your first round pick upcoming for Josh McDaniels. Who says no?
That'd be crazy. It'd be wild. All right, what do you got?
That would be wild. New York football, speaking of wild, is seemingly back as both the Jets and Giants have winning records so far this season. The G-men beat the Packers in London to move to 4-1 on the season, while the Jets took Miami to the woodshed on Sunday, winning 40-17. Now, this is the latest. Both New York teams are over 500 in the same season. You have to go back to all the way to Week 9 of 2015. It was the latest time you had both the Jets and the Giants with a over 500 record. Onsides or offsides, Zach, either the Giants or Jets will make the playoffs this season.
Ooh. It's a great question. I'll lean no on the Jets. The Giants are the tough one. Because they have four wins already. And in the NFC, if you get 8 or 9, you're probably feeling good. So you're pretty much halfway there. Here's their schedule the rest of the way. Ravens, Jaguars, Seahawks, Texans, Lions. Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, Commanders, Vikings, Colts, and Eagles. Let's just say they just beat the Commanders once. That's a fifth win. Then let's just say they beat the Lions, the Texans, the Seahawks. That's eight wins right there. You know what? Giants are making the playoffs. Brian Daboll, coach of the year. On sides.
All righty. Alabama.
And you can tell that is not one of my takes that I'm very confident in. But I had to kind of talk myself into it.
I mean, if you say nine wins, you're feeling really good about getting the playoffs. Giants now with 4-1 start. You have to go 5-7.
Right, 9-8 against that schedule. Last year for the Eagles.
It did.
This and NFC, there's not a lot of strong teams here.
You played the Eagles twice, but also, did you, I believe you said the Eagles are the last game of the season, correct?
Yeah. Who knows what that game means for them?
Right. I mean, if everything's locked up.
Hold on.
Ironic.
The Giants and the Eagles late in the year. Joe Judge going to be sitting on his couch. Maybe the Eagles actually play their starters that time. And they play him throughout the game and they screw over the Giants.
Or they don't, and Joe Judge sitting there. You got to be kidding me. I needed that 2 years ago. I'd still be coaching right now. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine the takes? Giants fans calling in to the fan in New York. Well, why did they pull their starters? Game's irrelevant. That's bad coaching by that Sirianni sucker.
Fire Sirianni.
All righty.
Going to college football, Zach. Alabama and Tennessee enter their big matchup this week with different emotions. The Crimson Tide barely escaped Texas A&M without Bryce Young as they turned the ball over four times and needed a goal line stop in order to beat the Aggies 24-20 at home. The Vols, on the other hand, they smoked LSU on Saturday 40-13. They moved to 5-0 on the season.
It was a good family win for Tennessee. Family. Brian Kelly needs to talk to his family more about playing like a family.
Have you heard the southern accent from BK recently? I haven't.
I haven't listened to much of Brian Kelly this year.
Hopefully he smartly dropped that one pretty quickly.
I need to take an aspirin every time I hear Brian Kelly speak.
He's either in a southern accent or he's fighting with reporters. So either one, you know, usually it's not very good when Brian Kelly's speaking to the media.
Maybe
that's
if you
for
win
sure.
Some games, coach. I'll show up to your press conference on time, sucker.
Bama right now going to this big matchup. They are favored by 7.5 points on the road. This game is in Knoxville. Onside or offside, Zach? Through 6 weeks, right now, Tennessee has been the better team compared to Alabama.
If I was just to give you the resumes of these teams and say team one beat Utah State, Texas, but Texas is playing a backup quarterback because of an injury, Louisiana Monroe, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, where, to be fair, they did a great job with the backup quarterback. And then Texas A&M, where you only won by 4 points. Would you rather be that team, or would you be Team B, where Team B, so far this year, they beat Ball State, then beat, at the time, top 17 Pittsburgh in overtime, Akron, beat Florida, who was ranked 20th, and then just beat Louisiana, who was ranked 25th, with Brian Kelly and his family. The resume for Tennessee is better, right?
Absolutely.
So do I think necessarily the roster for Alabama is better than Tennessee? No. But right now, this year, the way the question is worded, Tennessee has been the better team compared to Alabama? Yes, so far, yes. They've been more impressive on sides.
And finally, Zach, the most recent AP poll saw another shift at number one as Alabama was bounced down to number three after their close call against Texas A&M. And filling that spot at number one is once again Georgia. The Dogs are 6-0, but did have a close call a few weeks ago against Missouri on the road. And really, up until that point against Missouri, they have been dominant and were the most dominant team in college football. You look at Ohio State, though. They're number two right now in the latest AP poll. They have blowout wins over Michigan State and Wisconsin. And overall, right now, through six games, their average margin of victory is 33 points per game. Onsides or offsides, Ohio State right now is the best team in the country.
Their offense is scary. Scary good. And they're doing it without Smith and Jigba. If you had asked me this before the show, I would have said no. Right now? Yeah. Ohio State's the best team in the country on sides. You agree with that?
I do. I do. They've been the most consistent, whether it's bad teams or good teams. Wisconsin and Michigan State are okay. Well, Michigan State stinks. Wisconsin's okay. It doesn't matter. They blew them out. Yeah. Wasn't even a game.
For you, I know you want Penn State to be Michigan this weekend. But if you took off that Penn State cap, you hope Michigan and Ohio State are both undefeated heading into the game coming up on Thanksgiving. That would be great for college football.
Yes.
If you didn't go to Penn State, let's say like you joined me at Temple.
Yes. I'd root for a clash of the Titans in Columbus undefeated.
So you're rooting for Ohio State and Michigan is what you're saying. You're rooting for Michigan this weekend.
Here we go.
Is that what you're saying?
As if I was a non-Penn State alum, had no emotional interest whatsoever.
Well, you're wearing an Oxford shirt today. So I don't even know if you went to Penn State.
Sheesh.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I was just thinking about something during the break. By the way, you can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices on excellent customer insurance from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. What's the worst thing that you saw this past Sunday in the NFL? And Hickey, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'll trim it down to four options. Brandon Staley's awful fourth down decision with a buck 13, buck 15 left, going for it fourth and one on his own 46-yard line. Now, he got bailed out because Cade York missed the kick. Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray grouped together. The slide by Kyler where he was a half yard short, and then Cliff telling Kyler to clock it and spike it, not knowing that, oh, he didn't get the first down, and then third and one becomes fourth and one, they missed the kick. Carson Wentz throwing a pick at the goal line when he's at the two. He almost threw two picks on first and second, and on third down throws the interception. Or is it the Brady roughing the passer call that was going against Grady Jarrett? Is there anything else that's in the ballpark of that? Now, if this was for the entire week, yes, Colts and Broncos, that performance would be there. But this is just for Sunday. We saw the Giants come back against the Packers. The Bills blow out the Steelers. Steelers defense could be up there. Chargers, Browns, Vikings beat the Bears. Pats blank the Lions 29-0. Taysom Hill goes for four total touchdowns against the Seahawks. Jets crush the Dolphins 40-17. Bucks survive against the Falcons 21-15. Tennessee pulls one out off that pick, 21-17 against the Commanders. Texans and Jaguars. Texans get their first win 13-6. 49ers crush the Panthers 37-15. Cowboys destroy the Rams 22-10. Eagles survive against the Cardinals 20-17. And the Ravens, based off of Justin Tucker, pull one out 19-17. So that's all the games that were played on Sunday. Are those the four worst things that you saw on Sunday?
Yes. Jacoby Brissett had a bad interception on the goal line late in the game that I think they're already in field goal range, but not anywhere near as four of the worst plays that you've listed above, because those four on their own are just hideous.
So what's the worst? Staley fourth down decision, the Cliff Kyler slide spike debacle, the Wentz interception, or the Brady roughing the passer?
I will go with Brandon Staley, because this is a guy who is been known to be aggressive. I like the aggressiveness personally, but it gets to a point where it's just stupidity rather than just having confidence in your own team. In your own end, with the clock the way it is, where you're giving the Browns now a chance to, forget tie the game, send it overtime, win the game on a field goal, and they needed 5-6 yards to get in relatively good field goal range of the kicker that we've seen hit, what, a 61-yarder or a 59-yarder in week one?
It was 58.
It's a long field goal, so it's not like he needs, you know, a ton of yardage. That just, no matter how many times you want to explain it or explain your logic for it, I just can't buy it. I'll go Brandon Staley.
Awful, terrible, brutal decision. There's a difference between being aggressive and being stupid. He was stupid. But since he won the game, I can't say it was the worst decision when trying to get the tiebreaker here. Don't get me wrong. Dumb decision. He got bailed out by Cade York missing the field goal. The Brady roughing the passer is awful, but I think it just shows the bigger issue that we don't know how to hit the quarterback anymore. For me, it's between the Cliff Kyler slide spike and then the Wentz interception. Now, Wentz almost threw the ball to the other team in the first two plays and then did so on the third play. So that's a rough back-to-back-to-back sequence because you got bailed out the first two times. I think it's got to be, though, Cliff and Kyler because it's just a lack of awareness. Kyler slides, gives himself up a half yard short, and then you would think there'd be checks and balances where your coach would not say clock the ball, not realizing that it was third and one, and then they spike it and have to kick the field goal. So I'm going the Cliff Kyler slide spike. Marco Belletti, what do you go with here?
To me, it's that automatically simply because it's more mental than it is physical. That, to me, I have a problem with. That's incompetence from your quarterback and your head coach. That can't happen. Kyler Murray needs to know where the first down marker is, and he needs to give himself up to get the first down. That's automatic. Kingsbury has to know where the hell he is. Yeah. Telling him to spread. I mean, honestly, it's to the point where it's like as bad as the Carson Wentz is.
Do you know where you are? What planet are you on?
As bad as the Carson Wentz is, that's
an
ineptitude. Yeah, it's an ineptitude on the football field. It's a mistake. It's an error. That happens. That's like a baseball player, like a grounder short, you booted it. I get it. I understand that. To not know what bag to cover is a problem. Like, you've been doing this your whole life. Kyler Murray, you don't realize where the first down marker is. Cliff Kingsbury, you don't realize that you can't tell him to spike it with no timeouts on a third and one to make it fourth and one with a kicker who's been awful to begin with.
Like, yeah, 9,000 teams.
It's like, what are you doing? All of you, get together in a room, like, figure it out. What the hell is going on? Because you can't have simple things that you need to be able to execute become major roadblocks to victory. That can't happen.
Yeah, no, you could not have put it any better there. So I'd say Cliff Kyler, slide spike one is the worst decision. Two, I would go Wentz. Three, Brady roughing the passer. Staley, fourth down decision. All four of them suck, to be clear, obviously. That's why we're asking the question. And it's like, all right, which disease would you rather have or which illness would you rather have is pretty much what we're asking. I just put this on Twitter. I'm going to assume once we get some votes and a bigger sample size for something I just pressed publish on, I feel like our audience is going to say Brady roughing the passer.
Probably, because it was the one that took the most attention on Sunday, I would think. But again, it's bad, it's awful, it's brutal. But we've seen it 100 times. It's kind of in that spot where, like, we really don't know. I mean, how many times have we said we don't know what you're supposed to do to tackle the quarterback? We're all confused. And it seems the officials are confused, too.
Yeah.
So, to me, that one's a little bit further down the line.
Remember the body weight stuff?
They want you to
move around your... And I go, what, do we have to get a scale under the quarterback?
That's what I mean. Like, we're all confused. We're all confused. You know, I feel like... I've said this a bunch of times. Again, I'm going to be like an old man. I've said it when I was a kid. I felt like I knew all the rules. I knew everything. And then all of a sudden, everything just got very, very confusing and complicated in the last, like, 15 years. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And that's been one of those gray area confusion spots.
I say this all the time. You don't know how to hit the quarterback. I've said this numerous times in the show today. You don't know what a catch is.
Right.
You also don't know what pass interference is.
Nope.
Those are three easy things that should be. What is a catch? How much are you allowed to harass a wide receiver? And then how do you tackle?
And to be fair, I mean, again, this is not just my age, right? Like, you knew what these things were, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we used to watch football, whatever. I mean, what is it, 15 years? Is it 20 years? How long has it been that we knew all these things cold? And it was automatic. Every time you watched something, you knew what you were looking at. Now we all, I mean, I feel like we watch a lot of football, right? We look at each other. We're like, what the hell was that? I don't know.
Whose fault it is on the pass interference? It's Hickey's fault.
Well, the Peyton Manning Colts?
Yeah, Colts.
But that was illegal contact. Right, but that wasn't even pass interference. That was the illegal contact that got put into it. At least that one I understand. Within 5 yards, you hit the guy, I get it. Down the field, like, they're jockeying for position, and then sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. And it's like, how did this become holding? It became that confusing.
They always mess it up in the preseason because it's an emphasis.
Right.
So it's done intentionally. And early on in the season. Come postseason time.
Well, you're able to get away with a lot more at that point.
Now,
right.
I know that, right, Cowboys fans are going to disagree with this, but come postseason time, most of the times since everyone's watching those games, they kind of throw out the rule book a little bit in terms of when it comes down to a controversial catch. Like, for example, remember the end of Super Bowl 52? Zach Ertz reaches out.
Right.
And it's clearly a touchdown. Everyone in America knows a touchdown. And Collinsworth says that should be a touchdown, but the way it's been officiated this year.
Right. I didn't think it was going to be a call to touchdown. Yeah, I remember.
Right? And I'm glad, even this coming from Patriot, in the moment, that they went with logic there. Not what one little writing was in the rule book that makes it interpreted a stupid way.
Yeah. Without reading the rule book, and I feel like if I read it, I'd be more confused. Like, I'm not a lawyer. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how they made everything so complicated when it seemed so simple for so long.
And the salary cap, too. I used to think I knew what dead cap was, and it was set in stone, and then you hear pre-June 1.
Well, they changed all that. That's why that guy...
I don't get that whatsoever anymore.
The salary cap, I hate to tell you, is a little bit of a myth. Yes. I mean, you know, you pay the piper, they say, like, eventually. That's only if you get bad. If you stay good, you don't pay that thing until you get awful, and then you figure it out. That salary cap, to be fair, is a myth.
Yeah, I also remember the Taysom Hill contract from a few years ago. Oh, yeah, he's got like 9 voidable years in that contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the NFL, until you get like guaranteed contracts like that, there's no way. All this stuff is just, it's funny money. They could figure it out. They could finagle it. I mean, the Giants were in complete and total salary cap hell this year, right? We all know that. They got to cut guys just to be able to get through to game one. Next year, they got like $70 million. How's that possible? How's that possible? Like, it shouldn't be that easy. It's 1 year where you're bad.
Saints, I think it was last offseason, 2 offseasons ago, the Saints were $100 million over the cap, and they were able to trim it down restructure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're good, you could figure it out. If you're really bad, just take 1 year where you swallow it, and then you're gone the next year, and you're back into salary cap, no problem. So it's a myth. It's a total myth.
Can I interject very quickly?
Yes.
Because this is literally right on topic. I'm not sure if you guys saw the TV.
No.
Chris Jones just had a strip sack on Derek Carr. Came from behind, tackled him as Derek Carr's winding up. Ball's knocked out. He recovers it. Lands on the quarterback. Roughing the passer.
They called roughing the passer on that?
Look on Twitter right now if you could see a replay.
I saw the play.
Is this right here?
Yes, this is it.
So he strips him. Chris Jones strips him. The ball is out.
They called roughing
the passer?
That's roughing the passer. Worse than the Brady thing.
When I glanced up, I thought it was arm was in motion and it was a forward pass.
Nope.
They called that roughing the passer?
Roughing the passer on Chris
Jones.
That's
a strip sack. He's going to the ground. The ball's out. He lands on him and the ball falls right underneath his stomach. What else is he supposed to do?
You literally just said 2 minutes ago, how do you tackle the quarterback?
That's horrible.
And the NFL says, hold my beer. Here we come.
Exactly. That's terrible.
Where's Jerome Boger? He probably applauded that one.
Wow.
Great job there.
Again,
great refereeing in my book.
That whole weight thing, if he's going for the football, how is he supposed to grab it if he doesn't land on the quarterback?
You know why the NFL is going to go out of business one day? It is. No one's going to play defense. There is no reason growing up as a kid, you say, let me play defense.
The NFL's right? Here's
you're
going
to have no one
I would love
defense.
To be, agree with you. Until you make it illegal to gamble on the game, it will always prosper.
And not only like that.
No, I'm saying you're having no players.
Doesn't matter.
You're going to have 11 offensive players.
I was going to say, if you were saying fans, I'm like, suckers like you.
Oh, not fans.
The
no,
same
I'm saying
crap week in and week
they
out,
will not be able to field teams because kids growing up are going to say, why the hell would I play defense?
No.
Yeah, if
they
you're won't. A defensive back, you can't guard anyone. If you're a defensive lineman, you can't tackle
that,
a quarterback.
That may be your worst take ever.
Yeah. When I give you the contract and say, you're no longer a receiver, you're a defensive back here, here's your money. You go be D back.
You watch these games, man. Oof.
Yeah, they're brutal, but woof. That opinion may be the worst thing I heard this weekend.
Let me tell you this. If my kid wants to play football, I'm telling you, you're going the offense. I'm giving you the football in your hands, that's for sure. That's where the money is.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Closing bell next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We will get to a very quick version of the closing bell coming up in a minute. Let me quickly, though, take Foxy in Babylon, New York. Foxy, what's shaking, my man?
Oh, Zach, I called in to talk about how bad your picks have been this year.
Yeah, they've sucked. We've already addressed that. I have taken accountability, and I have addressed that my picks have been awful.
Well, thank goodness. It's time to go full Costanza, opposite everything. You know, you put your picks in blindly before you face off against Mraz, and then you have someone picked opposite for you. That's how it's
going. No. You know, I'm not incompetent. I will eventually turn it around. It's just been a slow start. It's been a rough start, let's just say.
And
I'm only three back of him.
The worst thing about that roughing the passer, Zach, is that it's one thing if Tom Brady gets calls like that. He's been getting them his whole career. Nobody even likes Derek Carr. Why is Derek Carr getting called like this?
That's not right. But that is funny, right? Usually they go, oh, Brady gets all the calls. It's like Goodell called in. Hey, everyone thinks Brady gets all the calls. Let's just call it on a guy like Derek Carr. Yeah, that's a terrible call.
See, the fix is not in. I told you.
That's a terrible. That When I saw that live, I held back cursing. I almost cursed on the radio. That is how bad of a bleeping call that was. All right, anyway, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I'm giving a stock down to roughing the passer. Sail! Now that's all we're going to be talking about. Cam Hayward. I love Cam Hayward. He retweeted this, though, today and then said it was a butt retweet. BS, this was the tweet from Disco 198121. BS, I can't stand Tomlin, and he's a fraud and a clown that has been carried by Ben his entire career. However, Cam Hayward was running 30 yards downfield again to make tackles that linebackers wouldn't make. Cam, that's what you retweet? That's bad. There was no butt retweet there. You just royally screwed up. I love Cam Hayward. From New Jersey. My grandfather did the surgery on his father, the whole Ironhead Hayward situation, which I found out as he needed some dental work done after that incident. But geez, that's rough. Rough retweet by Cam Hayward. Jimbo Fisher gave a heck of an effort up against Alabama. What the heck was that play call at the end? Stock down. Carson Wentz. You stink. You threw an interception at the goal line, and Ron Rivera's defending you today? Ron, why are you defending Carson Wentz? But then you also threw him underneath the bus saying quarterback play wasn't good. But then you say, oh, yeah, I still believe in the guy. Ron, can you pick one? Are you knocking the quarterback? You throw him under the bus saying quarterback play is different to the NFC East? Or are you defending the guy? Because you said, oh, yeah, we see a lot of signs. I don't regret the decision. What are you doing? Stock down Ron Rivera, Carson Wentz. Mets, you made me believe. You ripped my heart out the last 2 weeks. I'm annoyed. I'll somewhat forgive you, though, because I'll be there a bunch of times next year, but stock down to the Mets. The great Dan Campbell, number one offense in the league. Oh, Lions are so great. They have one win. They just got blanked by the Patriots 29-0. Stop with this Dan Campbell love. Another great week for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Talked about the big victory last week, then backs it up. Taking down Utah. Give a stock up to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Justin Tucker, another game-winning field goal. Give him a stock up. Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys are 4-1 without Dak Prescott. Unbelievable. Stock up. Rob Thompson. Takes over for Joe Girardi. Gets the Phils to the playoffs. Wins the wild card round, then on the NLDS. Jets rushing attack. Unbelievable. 5 total touchdowns. Stock up. Taysom Hill, 4 total touchdowns yesterday. Give him a stock up. Austin Eckler, got that dog in him. 10.8 yards per carry yesterday. 180-something yards. Give him a stock up. Gabe Davis, 3 catches. One was a 98-yard touchdown. How long was the other one, Hickey? Do you know off the top of your head?
62 on the one-handed.
62. Give him a stock up. And finally, this rapid-fire edition of the closing bell. Hickey's fingers are getting sore right now. Brian Daboll. Hit it. Brian Daboll. 4-1. Team down 17-3. Team down 20-10. And they get the job done against the Green Bay Packers in London. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks. The Hot Take Hickey. Big thanks to each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. JR coming up next. All right, bye-bye. Peace.